Good late evening to you, boys and girls, friends and family, fellow Boilermakers. Purdue's improved to 32 wins on the season. They just beat Gonzaga quite easily, quite smoothly, quite calmly up in Detroit. Your Boilers are heading to the Elite Eight. They're running right up against Matt Painter's ceiling, his glass ceiling. I was there last time he ran into it. I've had a little bit of time to enjoy the afterglow, the bask in the post game fun, and I've got a lot of thoughts. This is weird. This is weird. We're gonna talk about it, but before we do, I want to thank our friends at Home Field Apparel. Go to Home Field Apparel, get a t-shirt and a sweat or a sweatshirt, a hat, whatever you'd like. Enter Boil 23, get 15% off. They do really good stuff. The stuff's comfortable, it's soft. You should go there. All right, when you're on campus, head over to AJ's, talk to my friend Adam. He's the greatest, he's the best dude. His friend Jake, they started a business a long time ago called AJ's, and now they serve you delicious food. When you go in there, there's TVs and they got a super helpful staff and they got mac and cheese bites and they've got pint glasses with boiled sports in the bottom of them. You should go get one because why the hell not? Go there before, eataj's.com. Guys, I gotta tell you, I am a bit like your Boilermakers right now. I'm content for the time being. I'm not elated. I don't feel like this is over. And I know I was a basket case earlier this afternoon, earlier in the day. My wife had to deal with it. She took the day off today because it's Good Friday. And happy Good Friday to you. If you're like me, you went to a Good Friday service this late afternoon, this early evening to celebrate the important stuff. Biggest holiday of the Christian calendar. No rabbits, none of that bullshit. It's the reason that. The reason I believe the world is can be better. But we'll talk about something less important right now. Let's talk about Purdue. Purdue earned their 32nd win today. They beat Gonzaga 80 to 68, and they did it in somewhat of a cool, calm, controlled effort. They showed Gonzaga who the better team was. We have been hearing about it for days. Days, right? We talk about this. You get to the second week and you have days to hear the media talk about how great whomever is. Sure, a lot of people are talking about Purdue dominating. There's no doubt. Purdue's a number one seed that has handled their business. They have played the way they're supposed to. But Gonzaga, wow, they've been really playing well. Sure, they lost to St. Mary's in the championship of the WCC tournament, the stupidest tournament in America because of the design of the bracket. It's the dumbest tournament. And I just keep getting reaffirmed that West Coast Conference is exactly what I think it is. And I tweeted about it. Guys, Gonzaga is a good team. I'm not going to take anything at all away from Gonzaga being a good team with good players and good systems and a coach that has teeth that are worse than mine ever were. And I had to take 5 years of braces and oral surgery. Just absolutely, I had a destroyed mouth. His teeth, as they stand right now. Come on, man. You're a millionaire, a multimillionaire. Go to an orthodontist. Holy crap, Mark. Do something about those chiclets, brother. But until he does that, we're just going to talk about Matt Painter and how it seems to me Matt Painter has turned over another leaf. The once stressed out Matt Painter, who would show the stress to his players in the timeouts, is now a cool, calm, and collected dude. He's a guy that says, you know what, we're going to slow this game down to a snail's pace. We are going to make it so boring that Gonzaga loses interest and just starts fouling the crap out of our bigs because we're better. And Purdue showed they're better. Purdue matter-of-factly just kind of marched to a 12-point victory. Could they have won by 25? Hell yeah, they could have won by 25. Gonzaga fans know it. Purdue fans know it. It was really, really a calm victory. It's the type of victory that you and I wanted to see. If you're tuned in here, you're probably a Purdue alum. You're probably a Purdue fan. If you're not an alum, you're like my friend Todd Singer, my friend Maury, who I don't know why these guys chose this plight, but they did. They're right along with us, fellow Boilermakers. And there's a few of you guys out there who have chosen to be Boilermakers. And in the past years, you'd say it's a really tough thing to be a Boilermaker. It's a hard life to be a Boilermaker. You get your heart ripped out. You get your face stomped on at the end of the season. You have high expectations, and then they're not met. Well, today, all expectations were met as Purdue and Zach Edey and Braden Smith and company simply handled their business. And how did they do it? We're going to talk about it in a second. I'm going to look at the stats, but before I do it, here's what I want to tell you what I saw. I saw Purdue slow the game down, inordinately slow. Just take their time. Not walking, crawling the ball up the court to take the air out of Gonzaga's high-paced offense. Matt Painter said, "Hey, Mark Few, I see you over there. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your lunch money, and I'm going to grab it, and then I'm going to go buy candy bars because I feel like doing it. Am I going to eat them? No, I'm going to take them out of the package, and I'm going to throw them on the ground. I'm going to say, that's your lunch money, brother. You can't go get lunch now. I just threw your Snickers on the ground." Matt Painter just spun Mark Few into a freaking tizzy. Let's be really honest. I will be hard on Matt Painter, and I am well aware of Matt Painter's shortcomings. I have been at games where I was like, what the hell, Paint? Get a guy on your bench you trust so much that he can help you get over your problems. This year, we are contrasting that. We are looking like a different, brand new era where Purdue not only comes in as a number one seed, but then they play like a number one seed. Time and time and time again. We're at the third time. Six wins makes you a national title winner. Five wins puts you into the championship. Four wins, that's one more in Detroit. Four wins get you a trip to Phoenix, where you are one of the top four teams in America, and all of a sudden you are regarded as elite. All of a sudden, the monkey would be off Matt Painter's back. The idea that he doesn't belong in the conversation. All of a sudden, the things that he's been talking about, the theories that he's been testing, and not quite getting over the hump, finally have come to fruition. How did it happen? Well, in the first half, you're like, dang, man, if you're anything like me, what's going on? Why isn't Edey hitting his shots? And he wasn't. He was missing bunnies. I thought he missed three or four. No, he missed two. He missed two. But what else was happening? Well, Lawyer was pretty quiet. And I was like, okay, we need Lawyer, Jones, Smith to combine for 30 points at least, right? To make it a big three, you need certain things to happen. But to get those three with 30 points, you effectively neutralize Nimbard and company. Instead, they earned 36 points, I believe. I'm going to double check that here in a second. But how they did it was awesome. In the first half, it was Lance Jones. Lance Jones knocked down a couple threes. Lance Jones took it right to the teeth of the Gonzaga defense. Zach Edey got everybody in foul trouble. The guy who looks like Theo Von on Gonzaga, who's a punk, he was ineffective. He didn't affect Zach Edey. Zach Edey just like, okay, whatever, little fella. Whatever, little brother. Give him a noogie, and he ran. He said, go away. Go away. I think the game ends out with Ike fouling out. I can't remember their names right now. And two Gonzaga big men with four fouls. That's how it ends. And it felt like all three were going to foul out. And they could have. But instead, Purdue let their foot way off the gas and said, hey, guess what? We have some respect for the Gonzaga basketball program. And Matt Painter handled it classy, as he has been doing the entire season. Let's talk about stats and let's talk about comments. Let's get to this. Goodness gracious, I hope you're happy tonight. I'm happy. I am trying to do everything I can to get to Detroit without completely breaking the bank on Sunday. It's Easter, the best holiday, like I said, the most fun. My family, we're all getting together. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be able to concentrate. I'm going to be a basket case that day. I should just get to Detroit. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. My buddy who's been cracking open the Boiler Gold, if you've been following us on Twitter, for every victory, he's on the hunt for me for tickets. Maybe LBD and I will be there in the house. We're trying to figure it out right now. I want to be there when Painter breaks through, and I think it happens Sunday afternoon. I really think this is different. Boy, I hope it's different. I've been waiting for a long time, but this Purdue team looks like they have the best player. And then on top of that, they got a bunch of just killers. They got a bunch of guys that understand their role too. Guys like Ethan Morton who say, you know what? I used to be a starter. 2 years ago, I was even a starter. But now I come in and I just give two cheap fouls at the end of the half because that's my role. A bunch of guys like that. You have Mason Gillis who said, you know what? We're not hitting shots. I'm going to knock down a couple threes because that's what I do. And then I'm not going to shoot again for the rest of the game. I think that's what happened. That's what I remember it anyway. Let's look at stats, guys, girls. Thanks for tuning in. I'm glad that you come to Boiled Sports after the game. It's part of your ritual. I know you gave a lot of time to enjoy a bit of the post game right now. Creighton is down on Tennessee 29-27. And at the same time, Duke is up by 3 on Houston 23-20. Just to give you a quick live update in case you're not by a TV. Let's talk a little bit. Purdue improves to 32-4. Purdue has already shattered their all-time winning streak or won games in a season. 31 was that record. They tied it. I believe they tied it. And now they have taken the all-time victories in a season record. This team is really good, really special. Tonight, Trey Kaufman Wren was a little bit quiet. Granted, he had 18-8 last game. Today, he only has 6. Now, let's look at some really, really good things now. Zach Edey, 27-14. Zach Edey, like I said, at the end of the first half, I think he had, I want to say 11-8. 11 points, 8 rebounds. And they were quiet. Quiet. I thought and I hoped Purdue would come out in the second half, smack Gonzaga with a hammer, and just end them. And they really didn't. They came out, smacked him with a hammer, extended the lead to 10 points. And then they said, okay, now we're going to take the ball. They are out of the ball again. And they did it. I think Edey played like 40 minutes. I'm going to double check that for you right now. Edey played 38 minutes. Smith played 40 minutes. Jones played 31 minutes. Lawyer played 34 minutes. Kaufman Renan played 15. Gillis 27. Heidi just 11. And Colvin 4. Early in the game, it looked like Purdue may have been a little bit of trouble because Heidi got in foul trouble. Lawyer wasn't super effective in the first half. And Painter started looking at the bench. But at the same time, there was not a shred of panic. There was not a little bit of Purdue saying, man, this isn't working. I didn't detect that. I never detected that. I'm sure you're the same. If you're a Purdue fan, you're just like, okay, let's see things kick on. Let's let it percolate. Let's let it happen. On top of Zach Edey's 27 points and 14 boards, you had Braden Smith. We said he was due for a good game, right? Well, this is a pretty good game. I don't know if you're into college basketball, but I am. I like it. I like college basketball. So if I tell you a guy has 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 15 assists, all while turning the ball over just 2 times, you'd probably say, that's pretty good. Braden Smith, pretty good. I think we can say that. This guy's an All-American candidate. He's a Bob Cousy Award candidate. He's a finalist, whatever you want to call it. He's an all-Big Ten point guard, and he shows it. He goes out and he does his freaking thing. He's got to get that damn triple-double. Let's hopefully see it during the NCAA tournament. Wouldn't that be fun? Many of you said that in your comments. By the way, thanks to everybody. I know we had like 1,000 views on the QuickCast as of this afternoon. And the thing that was crazy to me is not only were there 1,000 of you that watched it, but you had like 40 people commenting, just kind of being like, holy moly, I'm stressed too. That's what this is about, right? All of you guys feel what I felt, where you're like, I'm illogically stressed out. And I totally was. And I am so happy we all got to get together this afternoon. That was a lot of fun. It did make me feel better. I was able to actually be productive in the afternoon. I went back to work and actually worked. When I say get back to work, it's right here. I work at this desk at the Boiled Sports Studio here, whatever you want to call it. Fletch Lawyer had 10 points and 2 assists, and I think he did most, if I'm thinking correctly, I think he did most of his work in the second half. Fletch Lawyer had such a grasp on the game, and we have badmouthed, when I say badmouthed, that's not fair. Some of us, I'm going to put us all together, have said Fletch Lawyer deserves to be losing minutes at minimum, and some of you said put him on the bench. But Fletch Lawyer, here's all he does. Here's what Fletch Lawyer does. He knows everything that's happening on the court. He's got a big brain. And then on top of that, he's got big brass cojones, and he takes the big shot, and he takes the big drive, even when it feels like it's not the right time. And sometimes you're like, don't do that, Fletch. But it works out a lot of the time. Fletch is extremely healthy right now, and I've talked to LBD about this. I don't know if Fletch was hurt this season. And I got to tell you, that's the story I'm going with, that he was hurt and quietly Purdue handled it and said, play through the pain, because this guy looks like a different guy at this point. Fletch Lawyer is playing big time ball. Lance Jones, like I said, 12 points in the first half. He ends with 12 points, 3 assists, 1 steal. On top of that, let's see, you've got Heidi off the bench with 5 points. If you guys and girls don't see the value of Cam Heidi, he had a huge play where he was down waiting in the corner. Someone threw the ball up the court to him, and he bombed a 3 in the first half. And my good friend, probably one of my best friends, he's like a brother to me, my godbrother, he says, last year that's Morton who gets that ball. And everybody loves Ethan Morton because he's a man of duty and he's stayed the course. But Morton's, even when he's shooting well, he's not a bomber. He's not a guy that just says, give me the ball, I'll take the shot. Heidi took that shot and it was a key shot. Lawyer took a big shot on the top of the key, a big 3 that really created space in the on the scoreboard. Heidi also had a big finish, I believe, around the rim. Gillis, like I said, had 2 threes. He finishes with 6 points, 3 assists on 2 of 3 shooting. And all of you, including me, I say like, we're lumping us together again, who have said, dang, Gillis got to look for a shot. He's got to hunt a little bit. He's patient. He knows his role. He plays his role well, and it's very, very good for Purdue. So some of the other stats that you guys, if you have tuned into these post games all season, you'd say, okay, what do the turnovers look like? Was Purdue near their danger zone? Well, not this time. Not this time. Remember, they beat Gonzaga by 10 points, and they turned the ball over a lot way back in Maui. This time, they turned the ball over just 9 times. Most of them came in the first half. Purdue was in cruise control in the last 12, 15 minutes of this game. If you didn't get to watch it, go back and watch it on DVR. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a great old time. Purdue at 70% of their free throws. Odd game. Purdue only shoots 10 free throws. And I told you guys a week ago, I wanted Purdue to get the Sweet 16 to see a team start playing Purdue straight up. Well, you saw a team play Purdue straight up. They thought they were massively improved. They were a much better team. I watched Dan Dickow talk to Rob Hummel this afternoon on a podcast about how improved Gonzaga was and how they were better all over the court and how every guy knew their role and how everybody was in the position to succeed. And yet, holy moly, is Shed hurt? I think Shed is hurt on Houston. I just saw him on I think that was Shed. That matters. That's in Purdue's path. Okay, let's not worry about that. Sorry, distracted. I don't usually keep a game on, but this is a fun night. But Purdue hits 7 of 10 free throws. They only shot 10 free throws. Guys, girls, we've been watching Purdue shoot 23, 25 free throws because teams have decided to play whack-a-zack. Right, just beat the hell out of Purdue's elite 7-footer. Not tonight. They said, okay, we're going to play you straight up, mostly, except for, what's the guy's name? Greg, the guy who looks like Theo Von. Greg hit Edie across the face. He grabbed around the waist. He grabbed around the shoulders. He did a lot of cheap stuff. Ike had a cheap one, too, but mostly he's just big, strong dudes battling, right? The last foul that Greg had versus Edie in the first half, right before the end of the first half, pissed Zach Edie off. You could see it on his face. He was done with that, and he kind of just said in the second half, you don't belong on my court. You don't belong here. Maybe later, little fellow, but not right now. Purdue hits 45% of their three-pointers because guess what? They're a good team. They're a good shooting team. They were second best or first best, depending on the week you looked at it, between Kentucky and Purdue. They were neck and neck all year. Purdue hits 45% of their three-pointers because they're a good team. Purdue out-rebounds Gonzaga 32-25. That was a back-and-forth battle, especially at the half. I think I tweeted incorrectly that Purdue was down in the rebounding battle only because my sports app hadn't updated. Purdue was down. Then they were 1 up at the half. Good game, guys. And if you saw one thing, if you saw Purdue go and put their name on the big foam core board of the tournament bracket in Detroit, if you remember back to when Carson Edwards put his name, or Purdue's name, not his name, Purdue's name on the foam core board after beating Tennessee. It was a triumphant, water-filled celebration in the locker room, right? They were throwing water bottles on each other like champagne. Go back, check the Boiled Sports Twitter feed if you want to see it. We've got it on as our banner. We've had it up there since 2019 because that was such a big game. Now, compare and contrast the way Purdue put their name on the board. One guy goes up, puts his name on the board. He goes, hey. And I really can't tell because I got bad video and someone showed it to me on their phone. It was either Colvin or Martin. And you guys can tell me who it was in the comments. Goes up, slaps the Purdue on the board to get him to the Elite Eight. And why was that not more of a celebration? I'll tell you why. Purdue is here for bigger things. Plain and simple, bigger things. Let's talk together, everybody. MHC says, yeah. Boiler Bugle says, woohoo. Pat Gottschall says, clink, clink, choo-choo. I need a drink. Okay. Kevin Albuquerque says, that beautiful rattle of the ice. It's a wonderful noise. It's a sound of victory. Ryan Michael Anthony Harrington says, take it one game at a time, and they are. Kelly Rizzo says, yay. Kelly, thank you for being here. I don't remember your comments being here. Thank you for being Kelly here. Thank you for being here, Kelly. Pat Goschel says, never nervous. Okay, yeah, okay. Then I think his joke is joke. And I can tell you, I was nervous. I was nervous until I figured out what Painter was doing. And I tweeted this out. So probably right before, 5 minutes before halftime, my brain started going, wait a second. Braden Smith is walking the ball up at an inordinately slow pace. This is what Painter did versus Illinois in Champaign. And this was all by design. And like I said, Painter, Smith, Edie, Lawyer, Jones, TKR, Gillis, Heidi, Colvin, they had a plan and they executed the plan. Big, big things today. John Harrell, my pal John Harrell, says, feeling good. Good to see you, brother. Adam says, let's stink and go, or something like that. How are you, Adam? Jason Ringer says, hell yeah, Boiler Dad. Good to see you, Jason. Adam P., OMG, what a fantastic team. They look the part, do they not? Andy Day says, man, that felt good. Pat Gottschall, this team is on a mission. Enjoy it. Andy and Kyra says, good evening. This is a special, special team. Jason D, all business. I'm going to forward down here. Get T-Rick, BTFU. Reminded me to always never get worried about the Zags after they again cruise through their JUCO level conference. I don't know what always never means. I guess that means you just absolutely don't ever do it. I think that's what you mean, T-Rick. I'm going to forward down here. Need to be in verse says, rarefied air Boiler fans, cherish every moment. Okay, so in case you're keeping score, which you might be, of things like, when was the last time Purdue goes to the Elite Eight? Well, that was 2019. I was at that game in Louisville with LBD, and I watched Purdue get their heart ripped out by the eventual national champs, Virginia. I was also at the game way back in, what was that, 1994, when Glenn Robinson had a messed up hip and Purdue lost to Duke in Knoxville. I was not in the Elite Eight game in, 2000-something when they lost to Wisconsin. I was not there. I'm going to do everything I can to get there. I want to see this thing bust through. Not only for, like I said, not only for Matt Painter, but for Gene Cady. We've been talking about this for a long time, boys and girls. Andy in Colorado says, like you said, special team. Okay, let me see if I can go down here. Kevin Albuquerque says, that was a good Gonzaga team, but with only seven deep, you could see Purdue's bench advantage. Yeah, attrition matters, absolutely matters. And Purdue has been steady. Purdue has stayed healthy. They have not taxed themselves. This is what they've been pointing towards, and they look like this is what they've been pointing towards, and they look like they are on a damn mission. Ted Berkey has a fun little thing here. 40 minutes to the Final Four. 40 minutes to the Final Four. That's fun just to say. Nathan Dolan says, great start to the second half with TKR putting Watson in a bind. Watson got in trouble, and then Purdue started frustrating him where you're like, why are they even fouling? You'd watch the dumb fouls mounting. Right now I'm watching highlights of Braden Smith changing speed. Mark Few giving Edie a big hug. There's a lot of respect there, so that's nice. Adam W says, thanks all who came to AJ's tonight. It was loud like Mackie. That is awesome. And I made you a promise, Adam. If Purdue gets to the Final Four, we're going to do something. We're going to have a live broadcast. I don't know how we'll do that depending on travel and all that, but I'm going to come see you. We're going to do something. I can't wait to see you again. I think it's going to happen. But I got to tell you, Tennessee worries me. I told you, I saw my bracket has Creighton beating Purdue. Because I'm worried about Creighton's shooters as much as anything. Right now, Creighton is up one on Tennessee at the half, just if you're keeping score at home. Brian T. says, Ethan sacrificing with two personal fouls to prevent a score at the half. What a soldier he has been. Glad to see the crowd show him love. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. The good folks, the good Purdue folks in the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit gave him a big O there. That was awesome. Henry Winokur, not Henry Winkler. Henry Winokur says, I felt like wearing the Big Ten season champ shirt would curse us. Started wearing 80s record shirt from here on out. Game by game, just look at the next game. Henry, I got to tell you something, and I don't know you, but I love you, brother. But what I'm going to tell you is here's the thing. The superstitions don't matter. What matters is what these young men do on the court, how Matt Painter handles himself in the huddles, and how this team executes. I love us thinking it matters because we feel like we're a part of it. I obviously want to feel like I'm a part of it. Wear your shirt that makes you feel the best, makes you feel that thing. Michael, one of the members of the BS team, had no stress today. He said it, no stress. And I give him credit because he was like, yeah, Purdue's going to win. They're going to roll through this thing. And he kept at that. He said he never felt stressed in the first half. That's awesome. And he was right. Now, I don't know why he's right. I don't know why he's stress-free. If you follow Michael on, the Railroad Tie on Twitter, he's not the most stress-free guy. That's not true. He's a cool guy, but he's not the most stress-free guy. But he was feeling it today. So whatever it takes to make you feel at peace, I'm all for it. But Mark Garrity says, Purdue is great at wearing down teams, getting them in foul trouble. They win the war of attrition in this game and enables them to pull away in the second half. That was by design. I'm telling you, Painter was a genius tonight. I'm going to give credit where it's due. Matt B. says, This team isn't happy. This team intends to finish this. I love it. Nathan Dolan says, Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you and your family. Let's see. Ben Carnahan says, does anyone know for sure what sections Purdue has for Sunday? I'm buying tickets and don't want to sit in the Tennessee scum. Okay. I don't know that. I got to tell you, if I get in the arena, I'm going to be happy. The last time I watched Purdue play Tennessee in Louisville with LBD, I was sitting next to two ne'er-do-wells and they were talking trash to at that point, he would have been 12, 13 years old. LBD was. And at one point, I had to move him on the other side and just stare at the guy. I was like, what's your problem, bro? So if you get on the other side, don't worry about it. You're going to have a Purdue fan nearby. I can guarantee you that. So get in the arena. That's the first part. Worry about the sections later. I'm with you, though. I am with you. James Phipps says, boiler up. Greg Mitchell says, Purdue plays eight guys. Purdue has a good rotation, a healthy rotation. And they can go a little deeper if they need to, but they don't have to. Caleb First didn't take off his warm-up today, and Caleb First is a good basketball player. And he's a warrior. He's a trooper. He's a great dude. He's a man of God, too, which is awesome. Adam P. says, so who do we match up with better, Tennessee or Creighton? I really don't want to see Tennessee again in a bruiser of a game. Not sure about Creighton. Yeah, Tennessee was playing a pretty physical brand of basketball at that point, and they're a good basketball team right now. They look like a basketball team. They're playing Creighton. It's pretty even. I haven't watched much of it because I've been enjoying the post game here. I don't want to think about that. I heard Jay Wright talk about and analyzing who you want to play next, and he sounded like one of us spinning our brain into, do you want to play the lower seed who's hot? Or do you want to play the higher seed who is like expects to be there? And he's like, there's dangers in both. And he's right. There's pitfalls in both. Let's see. Mr. Matt DSM says, I was anxious during the first half, but the way they absolutely handled them in the second half, I am flush with confidence that this is going to be a special year. It's already special. It's already special. And let me pause for a second. This is important. This is fun. enjoy it for what it is. And I know earlier today I was trying to figure out to get my feet underneath me. Enjoy it. This is special. You're going to remember this regardless of what happens in front of us. And if you've been through this as a Purdue fan for a long time, this is special. It's already special. Let's see. Anish Ramaswamy says, feeling great, feeling good. How are you? I'm great, Anish. And I'm great that I'm really happy that you checked in. If you don't know Anish, he is a big fan of Boiled Sports. He is a tall, beautiful man. He is smarter than you, too. Almost guaranteed. He's smarter than almost everybody I know. There's one guy, LBD, that might be smarter than him, but LBD, he's got the years on LBD. Greg Mitchell says, well, apparently the teams Gonzaga played in the last two games shouldn't wear them down, eh? Gonzaga is a good team. Gonzaga played teams that weren't as good as them, and Gonzaga handled their business, and they ran into a team that's really good that was ready to play, and that team just handled their business. Nolan Hostetler says, first time hitting up the Indy alumni watch party. Great energy. Let's keep it going. Keep it rolling. Sorry, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Mitch Wright says, all I got to say is go Boilers at Albanese. The Gummy Bear Tycoon says, all right, great win. Well, a win is a win. On to the next one. It was a good win, Ed. Let's enjoy this one. Let's enjoy it. Joe Inslee says, Zach is on a mission. This is the year. See you in Phoenix. I hope so. I hope to be there. And I just heard some information from one of my best friends. Again, he's got a place for me to stay now in Phoenix. All of a sudden, if they can win one more game, holy moly, we're all going to meet in Phoenix. We're going to have a great old time. We're going to eat Tex-Mex. Green chilies destroy my abdomen, but I'm still going to eat green chilies in Phoenix because I love it. Just got to stay near a toilet. Let's see. Benny says, cruising altitude. Oh, is he a pilot? Is Benny a pilot like my friend Chris Harder? We've now reached our cruising altitude of 32,000 feet. Sit back. Enjoy the ride. Hopefully you're not in a Boeing product. Sorry, that's a low blow. I shouldn't say that. I had a roommate that actually worked at Boeing. Fine folks putting together planes for you. Moses Rambam says Smith is point guard GOAT. I think we can say that now officially, that Smith is the greatest Purdue point guard ever. I think we can already say that. As a sophomore, Smith is the greatest Purdue point guard ever. We can argue it, and I hope we get a chance to argue this next year, like maybe in the summer when we're bored. We can argue who the greatest point guard ever is after all this dust is settled. But he's got my vote. Great. Some of you can think back further than, you know, the mid-80s. That's about how far my memory goes back. But he is definitely up there. Kevin Bryant says, Braden Smith is one of the best competitors in this tournament. Those that underestimate him do it at their own peril. Right on. Olive Jazzer, who was tuned in with us earlier today in the QuickCast, says, where was the announcement, man? I'm subscribed. Thumbs up. Woof. Okay. I don't know what announcement. I just kind of come on, and I told everybody that it was going to be a little minute until I came on, so I apologize. Glad you're here. Jason D says, Theo Vaughn reference, gang gang. Yep, let's go. Let's see. Who's Johnny says, I haven't been this happy in a hole. There's got to be more to that. It can't be. I haven't been as happy in a hole. That would be weird. That'd be really weird. Let's see, go down here. Greg Mitchell says, you get to Detroit straight up I-69 wave when you drive by. So I used to, you guys may not know this. I don't think you know this. I don't think I've talked about this very much. But I used to work for a Michigan-based company as a remote employee. I've taken this drive many a time up to I-69. But I would generally take the left and then I'd come across towards Kalamazoo. And then I'd go up to Grand Rapids. So I am familiar with this drive. It is much better this time of year than it is in the winter. I used to take 31 up toward the lake, and when you get near the lake effect snow, it absolutely sucks. So you have to take I-69 when it's lake effect snow time. So I know this drive well. Elliot Krull says, Painter's best NCAA tournament coaching ever. Braden is the best point guard of the teams left in the tournament. And this is a good point. This is a sneaky point because Point guard play matters in the tournament. Coaching matters in the tournament. Of course, offensive prowess matters in the tournament. Purdue's got a lot of things. They're sneaking up on some people. Somehow, this Purdue team has a chip on their shoulders still, in spite of the fact being the number one seed. Jennifer W. says, Houston lost shed. So that was what I saw. Thank you for confirming. Feel bad for them. And I'm with you, Jennifer. And they were already down one dude. That's tough because Houston's a really good program, and I really don't have anything against Houston. In fact, I kind of root for Houston because IU hates Kelvin Sampson still, so that's one of the teams I'd like. Thank you for confirming that. Brent Williams says, boiler up, what a special season. Benny says, everyone contributed. TKR was magic to start the second half. Fletch and Zach were amazing. Jones is back. The Noodle, my virtual pal for many, many, many years. I don't know the Noodle other than I like the Noodle. I think the Noodle is a funny dude. I assume that is a man. I think it's a man. But I don't know the Noodle. And the Noodle says, hate to see Shed go down. That sucks. I don't know what if you're going to be in Detroit on Sunday and if I'm going to be in Detroit yet. I don't have anything confirmed. We need to like high five or give a bro hug or something, the Noodle. I don't know what your name is. Nathan Hartman, who I do know. Nathan Hartman and I are our football buddies. Says BTFU, HTFD. I don't know what that means. But I know the first one. JL says methodical. How Brandon Smith is not an All-American is laughable. Agreed. Let's scroll down a little bit. Let's see if I can find somebody who hasn't made a comment yet. Keep going. Ancient Astronaut says hammer down. Boiler Fool says Fletch has accepted the role. Fletch is healthy. Fletch is focused. Fletch is the guy that you want with a ball in his hands. Let's keep going. Nemanja Chalison says, B-Dowd is scared of Tennessee, but we all are scared of Rick Barnes. What? Dude is terrifying. If he wears a black hooded robe, I'm leaving. Okay, I'm going to give you real talk, Nemanja. And I believe that's how you pronounce Nemanja Chalison's real name. And I don't think you're really Nemanja Chalison. Okay, but that's cool. It's a cool username. I'm not afraid of Rick Barnes. I'm not at all afraid of Rick Barnes. In fact, I'm much more afraid of Tennessee's talent than I am Rick Barnes because I think that's their problem. Rick Barnes has an issue in the tournament. He seems like a decent dude at times. I got nothing against Rick Barnes. And I don't say that about many coaches. Anish could vouch for that. Jay could vouch for that. Michael could vouch for that. They know that I don't like a lot of coaches in college basketball. Brother Ted says, I'd rather play Creighton. Teams who've seen Edie before, like Tennessee, have an advantage over other teams who haven't, like Creighton. And yes, we beat Tennessee before, but only by 4 points. Now, let me give you a counter argument. Here's the counter argument. Purdue played Gonzaga, correct? Purdue beat Gonzaga back in November by 10. Purdue beat Gonzaga tonight by 12. Purdue could have won by 25 tonight. Okay, that's all I got. And I think I've said enough. And I understand the emotion behind this. And I don't really want to play Tennessee either. I'm completely with you. That said, there's some logic in there. Derby says, subscribe. Glad you're doing this podcast tonight. And I'm glad you're here, Derby. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're subscribed. Judith Johnson says, special year for sure. I savored every game. And Judith, I appreciated your interaction, even though we didn't always agree. And that's okay. It's all right. We can. Here's the thing that's beautiful. In the real world, we can disagree. We can discuss things. We can even argue them. I like to argue. I'm 5'4". I got no problem with conflict. We don't have to be assholes to each other. Sorry about the language, but it's true. And Judith and I didn't agree on everything. Stayed peaceable. It was all good. It's very good. Boiler Fool says, where do I watch in Cancun? Oh my gosh. Humble brag. That's a flex right there. Where do you watch in Cancun? Goodness gracious. Wherever you want. Enjoy yourself. I wish I was in Cancun with you in a Speedo. Not that I'd be with you in the Speedo. Okay, it doesn't matter. Sean Rumler says, Smith, 15 assists. That's a notable number. It's a very large number. Preston Bannock says, Anish is the best Purdue guard. Anish is, I don't know what you mean, Preston. Are you talking about Anish Ramaswamy is the best Purdue guard? He's the greatest. I can tell you he's a big man. He's 6'4". He might be a Purdue guard in the real, like, if you're comparing to real Purdue players. He's 6'4" and he's a legit 6'4", and he's tossed my shot at the 2-5 headquarters. Some of you guys out there know where 2-5 is. You know the owner. The owner's a good dude. The owners, the brothers, are good dudes. And Anish destroyed me in the 2-5 headquarters court. Matt Smith says, you can broadcast from our house in Scottsdale next week. Matt, I might take you up on that. I might take you up on that. Let's stay in touch. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Andy Knepp says, Painter, always a good coach, just more talent now. Two elite eights in 5 years ain't just luck. Two elite eight in 5 years ain't just luck. Yep. Because 2019, it's 2024. That's 5 years. That's two elite eights. It's never been about luck. And it's always, Painter's always been a good coach. The problem that Paint has is his nerves. It's always been his nerves. He gets nervous. I've got gifs that prove it. He didn't show his nerves to the point where it's detrimental today. And he's got a coaching staff around him that gets him. He's got a coaching staff around him that compliments him. And it seems like he has been humble enough to say, you know, we're going to do things a little bit different this year. Does anybody have any suggestions? And a couple suggestions have gotten me right here in the heart. And I'm going to talk about that at some point. I'm not going to talk about it right now because it almost makes me choked up right now. Andy Knepp says, okay, let's say, maniacally Steve, who we interact on Twitter together, said, is anyone satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I am absolutely not satisfied, Steve. I'm with you. Karen Gerlach, another longtime, steadfast post-gamer, says, haven't been this happy for years, Team Fletcher. Let's spread the love around, Karen. There's so much to give. Ken Simpson, who we talked the other night, says, first half made me very uncomfortable. Second half play caused a quick reversal of that anxiety. Loving this. David Dillman says, Smith is the conductor of this train on offense. The direction he was giving to the other guys today was game-changing. He was beautiful with the ball. Andrew Wide says, who guards Connect or Shireman? So I think you're going to see a bunch of different things. I think you'll see Gillis step up, and he's going to have to do a lot. I also think you'll see Lance Jones is going to be really, really important. When I say important, I think Lance Jones is kind of the stopper. I'm thinking, though, it's going to be Creighton. That's my gut. My bracket sucks, though. I'm so bad at this. My wife is kicking my butt in the bracket, so it doesn't matter. I don't know anything. I think way too much about it. Mike says 2019-2004, that's the 2024, that's a reference to the Elite Eight. David Dillman says Painter has been very clear about his nerves, is probably why he actually encouraged guys not to get into coaching. Losses really eat at Painter. Yeah, they do. And if you've watched him in the pressers, which I have, he has been incredible since the beginning of this NCAA tournament. It's a really good point. Painter is honest. Painter always says, I'm going to treat these guys like men. I'm going to be honest with them. He keeps saying, you know, the term that we've heard, a couple things we've heard. Number one, you heard the term sit in it when he talks about these losses, like a baby sitting in a diaper. And I think it's a good comparison. If you've ever changed a baby's diaper when they sat in it too long, if you're a parent, you've done it. And it's gross, and they have diaper rash, and then for the next day or two, they're trying to get over it, and they hurt, and they cry, and it's sad, and it sucks, but we all learn you better change the diaper sooner as a dad. It's your job, Dad. Don't wait. I went too far. R.T. Huxley says, oh, yeah, boy. Daryl Bryce says, I go back to watching Shellhouse play. I go back to watching Shellhouse play. This is the best Purdue team that I've ever watched. All right, Daryl, I'm going to say hats off to you. That would make you, if you watched Shellhouse play, that means, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Dave Shellhouse. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm trying to be as respectful as I can. He's the most underrated Boilermaker ever. He should be mentioned in the top 3 to 5 Purdue players all time. He is one of the greatest scorers Purdue's ever had. The only problem he had is the teams didn't win at a very good clip. Right after that, you had Rick Mount teams come through Purdue, and they did win a lot, and Mount scored a lot. But our friend Daryl was there for it, and he's saying this is the best Purdue team he's ever watched. My dad graduated, Daryl, my dad graduated in 1970. It's the reason I have a problem and I'm addicted and I'm nervous. And my dad is fine during basketball. I am not. My son, I think, is fine during basketball. Again, he handles it better than me. But that's awesome to hear, Daryl. I love you sounding off about that. I really appreciate it. That's great. Thank you for doing it. That's really cool. Matt Smith says, okay, we want to host Boiled Sports. Have fast internet. Okay, Matt. Okay, Matt. This seems like it's getting really serious. Like, our relationship really feels like it's speeding up, and I love it. I love it. Let's talk in Arizona. Hopefully we get a chance to. Ben Carnahan again says Purdue has reached the break point. Win and their heroes lose and it'll hurt a lot. It will hurt a lot. Let's see. Maniacally Steve says if UT wins, you only have to shut down Connect to beat them, but it'll be a war. Tennessee's good. Right now it's 39-39. 18:41 left live versus Creighton. On the other side, Duke is up by two on Houston. Houston is hobbled. They are injured. They are shorthanded. Duke is soft mentally. They are led by a big baby who is a faker, and their coach is also a big baby who was raised in Duke blue, so he is also soft and a drama queen. Did I just speak out of turn? I don't give a crap. Screw Tripowski and Shire together. They can ride out of town together. I'm rooting for Houston. Sorry for hitting my mic. I'm sure that was awful. I apologize. South Haven Boiler says, if we win, Painter will be the new face of college basketball coaching. South Haven, can we talk? Can I say South? Can I say that? The media has been in love with Matt Painter for years. And when Royal Williams retired and Krzyzewski retired, there was a massive vacuum. There was a space that was Matt Painter shaped that they put there for him. The only guy who didn't get the memo was Matt Painter. It's time to take your seat with the elite, Matt. And damn it, I want you to take it more than Hurley because he's a jerk. I got a lot of opinions, guys, girls. Other Noodle says, right on regarding Shieldhase. Good. That's awesome. Again, I'm blown away by that. I appreciate that. Saying this team is better than that, than teams all the way back then, back to the 60s, that's an incredible statement. A lot of good basketball since then. Maniacally, Steve says, tell us how you feel about Duke. I will tell you over and over. I was a freshman in college when I saw Glenn Robinson lose to Duke in dagnabbit. When I saw Glenn Robinson lose to Duke in Knoxville. And it started a hate affair with Duke. And it's just kept getting stronger. I was in Houston with Jay Money when Purdue and Kramer and the Baby Boilers lost to Duke. And that was Hummel-less Baby Boilers. I don't like Duke. I don't like Duke culture. I think it's all fake. I think it's crap. I think they're really, really good. And I think they pay their players. Even before it was legal, they paid their players. Now that everybody can pay their players, they're not quite as good. They're still soft. They're still pretty boys. Screw Duke. Okay. Josh Mangus says, Edie is 46 points away from passing Steve Alford for fifth all-time in the Big Ten scoring list. I love stuff like this because I don't think about it, and I love hearing about it. Thank you. Alex Chatton says, agreed. Painter is the face of NCAA college basketball coaching. David Dillman says, Hurley is a fitting name, and he has a little emoji of a dude throwing up. Hurley, I'm not a fan. Adam P. says, okay, who in the room wants to get boilered out a few Boilermakers to drink in Phoenix next week, and someone ask him about his thoughts on Filipowski. His name's Tripowski. I've already moved it. Guys, girls, I hope we all meet in Phoenix. I cannot wait for the opportunity, and I'm 40. Like I said, I'm 48. Many of you are my contemporaries. Many of you are older. Many are younger. As Purdue fans, we all deserve this. I don't say that very often. I don't say deserve, because deserve is a tough word because it shows entitlement. We're not entitled as a bunch. We're a hardworking bunch. But damn it, we've earned this shit because it's been hard. And guess what? The thing I always think about, maybe you guys think about this too, when and if, regardless of what Purdue does this year, I think about things and I'm a mess this way. I think about David Jenkins. Do you guys think about David Jenkins? Maybe this is weird. I know he only transferred a year, but I love David Jenkins. I got to meet David Jenkins. I talked to him in the halls of Mackey Arena, and we took a little walk outside, not just he and I, but he and I, my dad and my daughter. After the Michigan State game, Dave Jenkins and I walked down Northwestern together. It was cold. And I was like, I like David Jenkins. And David Jenkins, like, he was on that team, 16, beat number one. Dave Jenkins deserves this. You know who else deserves this? The Purdue teams that have kind of fallen short. And it feels like you're all standing on the shoulders of those teams as this team does their thing. I want to see this so damn bad, guys. I want Gene Katie to see this so bad. I want my dad to see this so badly. Kevin Bryant says, opinions are like a-holes. Everyone has them. But yes, Duke is puke, yes. Andy Knepp, says, once Painter breaks the seal of the Final Four, it's just the beginning. We'll have an Izzo-type run, if not better, minus the a-hole part. Now listen, Andy, why do I edit myself and say a-hole sometimes and curse the other times? I don't know. Ask the guys at Boiled Sports. I will curse sometimes in the text thread if it's impactful. And other times I will put the little asterisk. I don't know why I do it. And you don't know why you do it either. But here's the thing. Izzo's going to retire soon. Painter is going to be the dean of Big Ten coaches. Painter is going to carry the damn flag for the Big Ten. And he deserves this. He deserves this because he busts his ass. He does things the right way. He recruits players. Somehow he gets them to stay in this godforsaken era of college basketball. Purdue players come to Purdue and they stay at Purdue. That's awesome. It's incredible. It's not normal. Find me another program like Purdue right now. It's not that you're just dreaming this, guys and girls. It is not. This is special. And damn it, yes, Matt Painter deserves that seat at the table. He does. He's missing Final Fours. He's missing national championships. If he breaks the seal, if he gets past this ceiling, the Final Eight, if he gets to Phoenix, watch out, because Purdue has many more swings in them because the roster is incredible the next few years. And likable. Not only really good at basketball, but they seem like they're good dudes. That's a lot of fun. Andy Messmer, my friend, says, I can confirm Duke is easy to hate. Thank you, Andy. Andy, I don't know if you have any plans of going to Phoenix. I hope to see you there. I haven't seen you in a long time. Jennifer W. says, redemption by beating Duke and Phoenix. Holy moly. Wouldn't that be just a beautiful bow to put on the whole thing? And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be worried about Duke. That's a program that I'm like, if Purdue gets to play Duke, give me all this in a bowl. I want it. I want a big spoon. I want a big bowl. And I want to go right at that damn color blue. It's time to break through this. It's time. Gary Croshaw erased his message. Prakash P says, found tickets for $150. Count me in. Okay, Prakash, that's my breaking point. How did you know? Literally, I'm not kidding. I just gave my budget to somebody. A good friend of mine. I said 150. That's where I want to. That'll get me in the arena. That's awesome. Prakash, you and I should connect in the Little Greasers arena. Let's see. T-Rick says the ones that leave regret it because they become irrelevant. Ross L. says, I went to the Purdue-Tennessee bowl game. I have never been around more obnoxious fans in my life. I, too, was at that game, Ross. I walked across that damn bridge, which you probably were on the bridge with me. We moved very, very slowly like cattle going across that bridge. It was unseasonably warm that evening, but we got to enjoy that walk, right? Because we were the victors. That was fun. That game was ridiculous. Let's see. Let's go through all of them. Maniacally Steve says, do we hate red, blue, or orange the most? Hard to say. Houston red, Creighton blue, Duke blue, Tennessee orange, IU red. That's a good question. Creighton has 39 points. Tennessee is stepping on Creighton. I don't want to say it's over, but it looks like Tennessee is putting them away. If you want to fear something, let's fear this. Let's fear this together. Let's grab the fear by the freaking ears or the lapel or whatever you want. Purdue has beaten Tennessee a couple times. Tennessee is due. Purdue is going to have to play their best game. And guess what? All the stupid-ass Tennessee fans you've been hearing from on Twitter and Instagram in the comments section are going to be out a lot the next 2 days. I would highly suggest just avoid them or whatever. I don't, whatever. Handle it wherever you want. It doesn't matter. If Purdue wins, they'll still be out. Here's the dumb thing. They're a stupid enough fan base that somehow they'll find a way to talk trash even after they lost. I always say this. Don't talk trash if you're not at a point of power, meaning you've got the higher ground. Don't talk trash. Don't do it, Purdue fans. Don't do it for me. Purdue's got the higher ground. But somehow Tennessee fans are dumb enough to talk trash in the wake of losing to Purdue multiple times, in the wake of Zach Edey being now, he's going to be two-time National Player of the Year. But they say Kadek's better because na-na-na-na-na-na, we just think so. Shut your holes, Tennessee. Let's shut them up for good on Sunday. How about that? Prakash P says, so down to meet up. Oh, I happened to watch Jim Coyle go off on Zach Edey, truly only being tall. And that was his only argument, that we're blinded as fans. He only turns and shoots. So anyone who says that's a dumbass, I've coached a little bit of basketball. Here's what I can say. Watch Zach Edey without the ball. Watch him trying to get position. If he doesn't get his place in the lane, what he does, he passes out, and then he goes back and he goes back to work. He never takes a play off. If you think work ethic is easy, if you think going that hard for 40 minutes is easy, you've never played basketball. If you still say that after you played basketball, you're just a moron or you have memory loss. Zach Edey is one of the hardest working players, one of the best dudes off the court. And on top of that, he's got a 36-inch vertical. If you want to say, what's he good at? He's got a 36-inch vertical. Check out his NBA numbers. He's right up there with the truly elites. And on top of that, he's 7'4", 310 pounds of badass. Shut your mouths, anyone who says that. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't, Prakash. Ross L. says, from my experience, yes, by far, but my experience amongst Illinois fans is limited when they visit Mackey. Illinois fans are awful. They're horrible. Tennessee fans have been horrible when I've dealt with them. Seth Harder says, my best friend is a Vol fan. They have crazy fans, but like every team, there's some good fans out there. Seth, here's my argument against that. I sat in that arena, the stadium. I was in Louisville. I sat really close to two idiot Tennessee fans who talked trash to a 12 or 13-year-old. I can't remember how old Boyle Dowd was, LBD was. But they talked to the kid. They didn't talk to the old fat man. They talked to my son. And I thought that was dumb. And so I had to get there. So I didn't like them. They're just two guys, okay? But then when I was at the, where the Titans play, the Music City Bowl, whatever that damn, the Nissan, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. I was on the aisle dividing Purdue and Tennessee. So I got to see these morons up close and personal. And I can tell you, I'm sure there are good Tennessee fans. You know why I know that? Because I have friends that went to Tennessee and they're all right. But I can tell you the masses. So individually, they're okay. As a group, they're awful. How about that? Individually, they're okay. As a group, they're awful. I had a friend named Jack Pierce. He was my parents' neighbor. He helped me get a job in the shoe industry 1,000 years ago. He's a good dude. He went to Tennessee. He's from Tennessee. He's a good guy. Level-headed fan. But as a group, holy moly. Let's see. Jim Huguenard says, great game. Love the focus and determination of this team. Tennessee up next. They got some athletic dudes. Purdue does well. Southside Boiler says, according to Knucklehead, Purdue sections in Detroit. Listen up, everybody. This is good. Purdue sections in Detroit are 221 to 223. Those are the $150 sections. I'm in. Hopefully my pal, Matt, is listening to this broadcast. We talked about going together. Let me go with those tickets. Let's go. Boiler Fool says Tennessee fans sound like Ohio State fans. No, they're different because Ohio State fans are fans of a team that succeeds. It's been a long time since Tennessee was good, but they act like they're still the same team that had a ton of success when I was a kid. When I was in college, Tennessee was really good in football. Since then, what you got? Since the late 90s, what you got, Tennessee? What you got? Purdue's better since then in every measurable way. So keep talking. The noodle says my daughter is a freshman at Tennessee. She still seems okay. Listen, individual Tennessee fans are great. A person that took care of my kids, I'm not joking about this. She's a Fisher's girl. She was a cheerleader. She went to Tennessee, and she was awesome. Great kid. Great babysitter. Took care of my kids. Awesome girl. She went to Tennessee, and she became a moron when she got in that group. I don't know what else to say. It just happens. Michael JB says, attended the Music City Bowl versus Tennessee. Me too, Michael. Their fans were the absolute radical, ignorant, borderline abusive, the poorest fan base anywhere. And I tend to agree, Michael. And I was sitting in a row with a ton of ex-Purdue football players. I was just lucky to be there. I didn't pay a ton for tickets, but I was like around these big, strong dudes who are bad guys. And I was like, I felt pretty safe regardless of what was going on. But they were awful, awful. And we were in nice seats. We were in the 100 level. We were in the corner by the end zone where Purdue won the game, that goal line. We were right there. And they were horrible. And then walking back on the bridge, they were still awful. So this is like not imagined. I'm with you. Totally with you. Regardless, Tennessee is up by 13 right now with nearly 12 minutes left on Creighton. And I don't have the other score because they're showing a Masters commercial. And I think that's it. I have crossed an hour. I'm happy. You're happy. Let's go enjoy a good night's sleep. Let's wake up the next morning on Saturday. Get ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. If you're Christian, if you're not, that's okay. You can still enjoy Easter, but it's a big deal. And if we get to meet in Detroit, let's do it. So I'm looking forward to it. Regardless of who Purdue plays, it's time for a breakthrough. Let's enjoy it together, everybody. Let's see. I haven't seen this person. At 64, D. Willie says, Tennessee still might choke on Blue Jay feathers here. Yeah, I wouldn't. Listen, Rick Barnes can do that. Right now, looks like Creighton's going to score right now. Boom, they did. Just scored. And I'm on a streaming service, so now they're down 12. Yeah, I wouldn't put it. Rick Barnes is still coaching. Talk about a guy that feels pressure. That's your dude. He feels pressure in the NCAA tournament like nobody else. So, no. I would not. I'm not a betting man. I don't bet on sports. I have never bet on sports. But Rick Barnes, oh boy, Tennessee starting to tighten up. Oh boy, right around the 10-minute mark. Creighton's driving. They're down by 12. They're going to score here. I can just feel it. Regardless, next time we talk, we'll know. And I hope it's in person at the Little Caesars Arena. Hammered down, boys and girls. God bless you. Yeah, Creighton's cutting this lead. It's down to 10. Ken, if you're watching right now, I hope you're watching live because I saw a picture of Ken watching live, watching Purdue put the thing away versus Gonzaga. Ken, hope you're good. I think you're good. Shelly says you're good. So you've got tons of Boilermakers you have never met thinking about you, praying for you. Hammer down, my friend. Let's go get another victory. Let's keep talking about this. Let's keep the dialogue open, as they say. Smash that like button, whatever the hell it is. We don't monetize here at Boiled Sports, so it doesn't matter. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon. What a great night. Purdue's on to the Elite Eight. See ya.